chipped away by Galchenyuk. A race for it with Murray, who comes out and all the way to the left circle. He knocked it away, and then Pacioretty tried to get to it and shoot it into an open net, or mostly open. It's a brave move there by Murray, but he probably had to do it. Now Cole for Pittsburgh scores. Now the Penguins came back that quickly. Malkin came over. Cole joined the rush. He shot from the left circle and went high, and it's 1-0 Penguins.
And it's the late guide. Both Canadiens players, Pacioretty and Galchenyuk, they're late coming back.
Penguins with the quick counter. Now Trevor Daly taking it on his backhand just inside the blue line behind the net. Wilson made a pass. Kunitz, fair, scores. Nice puck movement by Pittsburgh. And Eric Fair with the sixth of the year makes it 2-0 Penguins.
Ooh, that should have been a penalty.
Sorry, I grunted there. I saw the cross check in the in the ribs of Pacioretty on the replay.
Yeah, and you know, he took it for the team. I give him that. But shouldn't get any special treatment.
It was a cross check to Pacioretty's ribs for sure. Pittsburgh forwards come crashing and get the puck. Gaunt's backing up. Shoots it. They score. Tipped in front of the net. And it's Gensel. And it's 3-0 Pittsburgh.
Yeah, again, the forwards, they win the battle for the Penguins. See, that should be a penalty right there on Crosby.
Centering pass for Pacioretty. Crosby held on to Dano as he came into the Penguins.
Crosby gave a cross-check to Pacioretty. The referee's right there. I don't know why they didn't call it.
Now Petry centers it for Shaw, and he misfired. He tried to one-time it. He had Gaunce right on him.
Pacioretty, I wish he would have just dropped Crosby right there. I don't know why he let him do that.
Habs were never really in this. They trailed 3-0 at one point. Final score, 4-1 as they fall to Pittsburgh here at the Bell Center.
Oh, yeah, it was one of those nights where Sergio missed being on the ice. Welcome back. Hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. We're with you until 7 o'clock. It's Pierre McGuire time.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
That was entertaining. I'm doing well. How are you, Mitch?
I'm fine, thank you. So how much does it, I don't know. Gallo was complaining about this, too, in between the second and third period, I think it was. To me, it was a hard-fought hockey game. I don't know.
We've got all the partisanship. It's, whether it's political or athletic, it doesn't matter. Everybody's on one side or the other. There's no middle ground. That's okay. It's all part of it. That's what makes hockey so great, the passion people have for it, whether it's for their team or the animosity and the angst that they have towards the opposition. It's what makes it so much fun. But I thought that was really entertaining. I really did. That was a good job.
As Coach Therrien said, they just didn't compete. I mean, they did a very good job. You go in and you limit Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel to one shot on goal. You should win against the Penguins, but they're deeper than that, and they proved it. And Patrick Hornquist was a beast last night deep in the Canadian zone. He won every puck battle that we heard there. And once again, Carey Price, tough to blame him on the three goals, but he's got to stand on his head right now, and he's not doing it. And they were outclassed in the end.
Everything you just said is fair. And what's the one thing I told you that's problematic when you play Pittsburgh? Their depth down the middle. Whether it's Nick Bonino, who you saw last night be really effective defensively, Malkin, who everybody knows is a great offensive player, but a really solid defensive player, Crosby, who's one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. And last night, they didn't even have Matt Cullen. They used Eric Fair, and he scored a goal. That's what I've been warning you about.
Yep. So
the center ice position is so, it's never been this important. It used to be you could get away with having two good centers, and then the rest of the guys could be just okay. Doesn't work anymore. Telling you, doesn't work.
I am not among those who suddenly seem to be concerned about Alex Galchenyuk. He missed 6 weeks. So he's been dropped to the number three line. Philippe Danault, who filled in so well for him, is back with Radulov and Pacioretty for at least tomorrow night. But watching that game last night, and specifically Malkin, you know, dangle with the puck with way too much room, it brought to mind the conversation that we had earlier in the week when I asked you specifically about players out there. And you said Martin Hanzel. And I know a lot of people might have been a little shocked when you said you'd think seriously about giving up a first-round pick for Martin Hanzel.
Yep.
But when you see the Pittsburgh Penguins, and if the Canadiens are going to match up against the Penguins, and especially with Lars Eller and his size not there, Who do you put on Malkin in a seven-game series?
Well, that's the problem. You don't have anybody. Here's the other thing. You're focusing on Pittsburgh, and you're right to do that. That's a wise thing. I'm warning you about Washington. I'm warning you about Washington now. We're in the middle part of January. And the problem you have with Washington, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Eller in the three hole, and Jay Beagle in the fourth hole. Jay Beagle is the best fourth line center in the league. On most teams, he's a three, maybe even a two. He's in the top five in faceoff wins. One of the top penalty killers in the league. They outman you at center. Canadians have to be better at center. It's something I've been telling you for a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of performance last night drives home that point, right? It just throws a brighter spotlight on that issue. And again, you would, if you missed the conversation we had with Pierre specifically about Hanzel, a lot of people don't like him. I don't understand why people don't like him. I understand people being reluctant to maybe give up a first, but I don't understand people who don't like the guy.
Well, why don't they like him? What's the reason?
I don't know. Gallo, are you come saw on Martin Hanzel?
I've come around on him. You know what? To be completely honest, out of all 30 teams in the NHL, Arizona is probably the team I've seen the least of in the last 5 years.
I think people don't watch him. It's like people not watching Tim Raines, right? Outside of Canada, not watching Tim Raines.
By the way, congratulations to The Rock. Way to go, Tim. That's awesome.
Martin Hanzel's no Hall of Famer, but he's been a solid player for a long time with great size.
He's a kid from the Czech Republic that went to play junior hockey in Red Deer for Brent Sutter. And you know I'm very tight with Brent, and no negativity on that player. And he's been in a tough spot. Anybody that gets out of Arizona right now is going to feel like they won the lottery.
I talked to you, I guess it was last week, that most teams are in their evaluation phase now, Pierre. They're getting together with their scouting staffs and management types. And I'm curious, if let's say the pro scout for the Canadians, or Team X, really likes Hanzel, can he sort of lobby the GM on a certain player? Does that happen in these discussions?
It depends on how much respect that scout has internally. Some scouts are working for the team, but they file reports, and they're not really deemed as important decision makers. Other scouts have significant power, and usually they have that power because of the track record they build up over time in terms of success rate, in terms of player procurement at the pro level or the drafting of amateur players. So it depends on the power that's been established internally by the scout. But I've seen that happen many, many times, absolutely.
This is the Stanley Cup champion. And to give yourself a chance, you got to compete. And we didn't compete. Their focus was not quite there. Disappointing night.
I mean, I think he's right. Last two games, we didn't compete enough. And we got to bounce back on tomorrow. And, you know, we just got to practice hard today. And we shouldn't have any problem tomorrow.
So that was Michel Therrien after the game last night, and Philippe Danault after the practice today when he was put back alongside Pacioretty and Radulov.
Okay, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I brought it up to you yesterday, and I study all these trends.
Shots on goal.
Yes, they're trending down. They had 18 and now 20. It's not trending the right way. It's not, and believe me, Pittsburgh gives up shots. Now, I know they tried to lock it down in the neutral zone last night, because they knew they were playing against a fast team. So they were a little bit more disciplined, Pittsburgh was, last night compared to their last game where they gave up 7 goals to Washington. But I would tell you, they're trending downward on the shot clock, and when you trend downward on the shot clock, you create huge problems for your goalie and for your defense, because that means you're spending more time defending and less time attacking. That's a problem.
Not sure why. We have to feel confident with the puck, make plays when they're there. It seems like we're not making those plays, and the result is not getting many opportunities.
There is Max Pacioretty. They certainly, you know, even Radulov has kind of hit a wall right now. Normally, things were happening with the puck on his stick, and they're not happening right now for anybody.
But to be fair to the Montreal, now this is important for the fans, because I travel all over this league. I just got back from Detroit from an unbelievable game last night between Boston and Detroit. Guys are tired. Coaches are tired. Players are tired. This schedule has been the most unforgiving schedule I've ever seen in my 29 years in pro hockey. I have never seen a more arduous regular season schedule for players or for coaches or for trainers. It's just, it's so unforgiving, Mitch, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing so many goals.
No question.
Scored by a lot of teams.
Yeah, there's no question about that. We're going to get to your game from last night in a second, but you used the word a couple of weeks ago, hellacious, in describing the Canadian stretch of their schedule without some key people. Like, you really notice the energy, even though he only scored six goals, of Gallagher, right? Gallagher not being there. Andre Markov in their own zone. Yeah. You're going to miss players like this. It'll be interesting to see how Minnesota responds without Brodin for 4 weeks. Who else is going to go down? Morgan Riley for Toronto. It's not as serious as they thought, but when a team that's going well misses a key element for more than 2 or 3 weeks, it shows.
Montreal Canadiens fans, listen to what that man just said. That's the voice of reason. Jonas Brodin's a very good player. Next man up for Minnesota is Clayton Stoner. Clayton Stoner is a heart and soul, tough guy, everything else. He does not move the puck like Jonas Brodin. So you're going to see. They're going to taper off a little bit. That's just the reality of it. I didn't like one of the sound bites. I don't know who it was on this show just recently, Mitch, where we should, if we practice hard tomorrow, we shouldn't have a tough time in New Jersey on Friday. I respectfully disagree. New Jersey's trending upwards. I know people don't watch them play. I get it. They've won three in a row.
Corey Schneider's playing well again.
Thank you. Corey Schneider's back on it. This is not going to be an easy game for Montreal. I know their players might think that. I'm telling you, it will not be.
Markov's now up to 15 games, and it doesn't look like he's anywhere close to returning. And the trickle-down effect, especially on the blue line, is becoming more noticeable. You talked about Brodin and what's going through with the Wild. And the goals against for the Canadiens as a team, Pierre, 2.19 goals against with Markov, 3.25 without him. That absence is becoming more and more pronounced.
Wow, that's a great stat. I was not aware of that one. Thank you for sharing that, Rod. Well, that just speaks to his puck moving. You don't spend a lot of time attacking Montreal when he's in the lineup because he breaks it out so well. He's just a great tape-to-tape passer. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. That's really a relevant statistic. That matters, that one right there.
Then on for Bergeron, then Marchand, very quickly to the back to Krug. Rifled one, score! Bergeron in the slot with the deflection, and it's 4-1.
Eddie Bergeron started it with a face-off win, and he finished it.
So, with the rumors about their coach, again, swirling, the Bruins break out to a 4-1 lead in Detroit. They blow the lead, they come back, they tie it. Detroit wins it in a shootout. Wherever you're going, Pierre, there are a lot of goals. Where are you next?
Detroit. Sunday, Rangers-Detroit. It could be a lot of goals.
All right. For those who were watching Habs and Pittsburgh, I didn't see much of what happened to them. What happened to the Bruins?
I don't think it's a question of what happened to the Bruins. I think it's more about what Detroit did. Jeff Blashill pulled the goalie, took Jared Coro out of the net, went to Peter Mrazek. He didn't yell and scream at his players, which was, I thought, very cool by him. But he raised his voice, and I reported it during our game, and he basically said, okay, you guys better get going. And he didn't, there were no big, nasty, screaming, water bottle throwing, Gatorade kicking moments. But I'm telling you, that team changed when he did that. They completely changed. And it reminded me of when Pittsburgh was down 3-0 and Kunitz wallpapered Matty Niskanen. Cullen went in on a semi-breakaway, hit the post, and it changed the dynamic of the game. Pittsburgh came back from behind 3-0 to win 8-7. Last night, Boston was up 3-0. Detroit's coach makes a deal, change. The game changes. So that's how I think it basically changed, to be honest.
But what we know of the Boston Bruins, you don't have to look that far into the history book, you know, how they went through the Peter Chiarelli dismissal, all of those things. I mean, there's incredible hands-on work that comes from Neely's office and higher than that.
Darren Dreger, TSN insider, of course, regular insider on the morning show here on TSN 690 every Tuesday and Thursday with normally Connor McKenna, Tony Marinaro sitting in the last couple of weeks for Connor, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt. Pierre, there are, you know, back to those rumors. Jimmy Murphy, our friend down in Boston, tweeted earlier today that he's hearing that Cam Neely might end up taking over as coach if, in fact, Julien goes. Could you see that?
Cam's never coached, so I don't know about that. But I would tell you this. I spent a lot of time with Claude yesterday. You talk about a gentleman and a guy who knows he's up against it, and he knows he's up against it. He's handled it with nothing but class. His players, if you get a chance, Mitch Melnick, get the pregame interview that I do on the ice with Patrice Bergeron from last night and listen to what the best player in the Bruins has to say about the coach. He's not messing around. Those players got out to a 3-0 lead last night because they don't want their coach to get fired. They're playing hard for him. They lost the lead. They got it back because they don't want their coach to get fired. They like their coach. They respect their coach. And this is really sad what's going on there. It is very, very sad.
At the blue line, drop pass Marchessault. Marchessault pressured out at the point, and he's going to play it down to the corner. Trocheck there, backhand in front, Dreisaitl. He's got a player streaking out of the zone. It's McDavid all alone. 6 seconds left. McDavid shakes in, deeks, and he scores!
What was it?
Lunacy. That was lunacy. I'm sitting in Detroit. I can't sleep. I'm with my producer, Matt Marvin, director, Charles Danmeyer. We're watching the game, and we see this happen. And I say to both of them, I go, that's a one-off. You will not see that very often except from him. That goal was insanity.
What was it, 3 ticks left on the clock when
it was the speed at which he's attacking the net, the speed of his hands as he's moving the puck side to side, and the ability to get it up that quickly. Just go watch that. Don't watch it in super slow motion. Watch it in fast speed. Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
Looks like an optical illusion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is, an optical illusion.
Tonight in Toronto, the Maple Leafs host the Rangers, and you know, I don't know, we didn't play this for Pierre, so maybe we should, we played it for everybody else. After the game last night, back to where we started with Carey Price, and on the Del Mar postgame show, Mitch Gallo, of course, is in the Canadiens locker room, and live after we were discussing how often Carey Price has been getting beat blocker side.
Do you feel like teams have been targeting your blocker side specifically?
I don't know. Should ask them.
Is it an area that you want to, when you have a chance to practice, work on?
You think I need to work on my blocker side? Okay.
How about that, Pierre, huh?
He's Bill Belichick. That was the best. Did you hear that one that Belichick used the other day? Do you feel that home field is going to be a huge advantage for you against Pittsburgh?
Hold on. Hold on. Don't answer that. Do not answer that. We're talking hockey. It's Pierre Maguire.
Bill, I know you always say the best team wins, whoever plays better on the field. But having the home field advantage and playing in front of your home fans, how much does that help you?
I don't know. Go ask Dallas in Kansas City.
Yeah, we're on top of things.
You are, and that's what Carey Price is doing. That's beautiful from Carey. I need work on my blocker side. That was good.
And for those who didn't hear, well, we didn't hear anything, who weren't in the scrum, how did you react to that question that he asked you?
I said, nope.
That was good. Way to go, Gallo. That was very strong. That's good. You're having a good day, and Sergio Momesso's having a good day from last night. That's good.
All right, so finally, and the reason I mention that is that Henrik Lundqvist has been struggling, as you know, big time. Like I don't know. There may be some people, some part of the Habs fan base who's concerned about Carey Price. I'm not concerned about Carey Price.
No.
As he said, the Stanley Cup is not won in January. He admits he's allowing too many goals, and he's got to work on things, but... Henrik Lundqvist, this is a longer stretch here, and it's somebody who's in his mid-30s. He didn't look good last spring, Pierre, right?
Oh, there's a problem. The biggest thing that I saw, and I watched that entire game with Dallas, only because it was my night off, and I was sitting in this great place called TAP, and they put all the games on for me. And I had worked that big game the night before with Pittsburgh and Washington. I saw all the goals. That was 8-7. This one was 7-6. So... Antti wasn't good for Dallas, but Lundqvist was worse for Rangers. And the Patrick Sharp wraparound, if you haven't seen that goal, that shows you the problem with Henrik Lundqvist. That was so unathletic by him, and usually he's so athletic. That was scary to watch that. that tells me something's broken down in the, inside for him.
And this is
that was really wrong.
And it goes without saying that this is another major test for him because of the team that he's facing, how quick they are, and how strong they are offensively.
And not only that, they're starting to sense it now, and young teams that start to sense that they're a little ahead of the curve, they're dangerous. Those teams are dangerous because they don't know any better. They just go out and play and have fun and rip it up. And they really, you know, come together unbelievably well. And Austin and the Animals, talking about Zach Hyman and Connor Brown, that line is so freaking good, Mitch. People are not paying enough attention to that line. That line is absolutely lethal.
A lot of people will watch that game tomorrow. We'll talk to you tonight, and we'll talk about that and the Habs and Devils in New Jersey tomorrow at 5:05. Thanks as always, Pierre.
How were your baseball visits yesterday?
Steve Rogers, Dave Van Horn. Who else? Andre Dawson, of course. Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm asking. Did it go all right?
Yeah, it went well. Went very, very well. Thank you very much. We're very excited. We're making plans to go to Cooperstown at the end of July.
Now, what about the All-Star game in L.A.?
What about it?
Are you coming?
No, I can't. I can't. You know what, Pierre? If it was like a four-day event, I can't justify flying out there for 2 days.
But we can make it a four-day event.
Yeah, but the people I work for would not be happy.
I work for the same people. I could write you a doctor's note.
No, what you can do is get me a job at NBC so I can no longer work for these people, and then we can talk.
No, because I enjoy. I would. My life would be incomplete if I wasn't doing this with you every day.
You're so full of it.
No. Hey, have I ever blown off a show?
No. Well, but there are a couple of times you should have.
But I've run through the airports to make sure I could get on your show.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I'm just kidding, by the way. I'm just kidding.
I know.
Not for you, but there are people out there listening. So what's going on here? Nothing. I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do.
You better. You're good at it. You're better than good at it. You're as good as anybody I've ever seen do it.
Even at NBC?
We don't have radio.
Yeah, you do.
Who?
You don't?
Dan Patrick. He has his own show.
Yeah, well, it's radio, isn't it?
He has his own. Yeah, but Danny has his own. He produces that himself. He's a Megatron. He is. I'm telling you, and Mitch, he's kind of like you with me. We're really good friends. Dan Patrick's an awesome guy. He's not just a real talent. He is an awesome, awesome guy. We had so much fun in Rio. I don't know if everybody appreciated our humor, but we had fun together in Rio.
Don't worry about whether people appreciate it or not, as long as you enjoy it.
We did. You're great, and you're not leaving, so there you go.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good night. Bye.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com. You gotta love.